SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Keeneland, a very good morning, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM Online. And I had our website too, stevebick.com. And boy, oh boy, after putting up a video of snow the other morning at home, in upstate New York, I didn't expect to come to this part of the world and be greeted with a layer of frost and ice on the car. That was something. I'm sure you saw anybody that's been tracking the morning here at Keeneland, and we prepare for Breeders' Cup, and it was in the low 20s, and the track was frosted over, and they had an extensive delay in getting horses out here on the main track. Quite a few of the Breeders' Cup horses spent the morning over on the training track, and others waited, including some stars, including Monomoy Girl and Swiss Skydiver. Put up a little video snippet of Monomoy Girl, who really there's any number of the horses that we've seen already. Even with the limited number that came out here this morning, are certainly energized from every perspective. That includes being just ready and being keyed up for the biggest assignment in a lot of their careers. Not in everybody's career, obviously, because there's horses trying for second Breeders' Cup or making multiple Breeders' Cup visits, like Whitmore, but of course Monomoy Girl trying for a unique opportunity to win a second distaff. In fact, I commented specifically on that and laid out that field. And here she is, seemingly poised. Not that it's going to be easy, to say the least. And, virtually from top to bottom, as we wait for today's draw, 5 o'clock, and apparently they're going to bang it out. It's going to be over in the sales pavilion, and it's not going to be a the kind of, typical cocktail swirling affair that that most of the big day draws tend to be. But they're going to dispatch the 14 fields for everybody, and you can tune right in pretty much, everywhere. They're streaming on YouTube and on their Facebook page and right off of Twitter and at BreedersCup.com. So you're guaranteed, much like everybody was amusingly commenting on all the pre-entry fields, that you'll have every opportunity to to see the fields assembled as they get together. And then you got to wait. Is there anything more annoying, really, than when it comes to Breeders' Cup? There's that period where they draw the fields. And pretty much, by the way, everybody, I'm sure we'll touch on it this morning, but pretty much everybody that was planning on running in their intended race is intended. I'm still there's a couple of the juvenile turf sprint types that I haven't tracked down and gotten final. That never got final word. But there's nothing more eagerly anticipated than the time at call it 6 o'clock, where those fields are going to be drawn, and then waiting for your PP provider of choice and your figure, your premium pace and speed figure product, Thorograph for us, Time Form US as well, and everybody else, waiting for them to be able to format the fields and then spinning it out so that you can do your print work or do whatever it is you're going to do to get ready. So obviously, you know, we'll touch, I'm sure, on some of the fields. And when I mentioned that distaff, you know, there's certain races that we already know. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of mystery. There is intrigue, of course, when it comes to, I think, as I said last week, the filly and mare sprint where, Gamine and Serengeti Empress end up and how they line up, those kinds of things when you're talking about pace scenarios. But when you look at a race like the distaff, and I'm going to keep coming back. Brad Free is traveling around, so we won't talk to Brad today. I've been looking forward to talking to him and getting his distaff coverage. It's kind of strange. I don't know, and maybe it's just what I've read or what has passed across my, my screen. But it doesn't feel like the distaff is getting nearly enough appreciation. Obviously the classic, everybody, talking about it and the level of talent top to bottom, well worth appreciating. And in fact, we saw Tiz the Law this morning, who's been here early, kind of a counter move for Barkley Tag, not his traditional concept of coming in on a race. And he was another horse like Monomoy this morning that was feeling good and wanted to do more. And you can always tell when those exercise riders, in this case, Heather Smoolin, has the, the arms locked and you can see the strain in the shoulders and the bobbing, trying to hold a powerful horse, who wants to do more, but, isn't supposed to be doing more. But the cold weather, the crisp weather like this, as we talk about at Saratoga during the summers, when the temperature goes from, hot to coolish, horses love it. They love that it's a rare horse that doesn't prefer the cold to the heat. So there are a lot of horses that looked like they were feeling good. Still got to get. I don't have the. Don't have the saddle cloth number card, and it was two other years they've had it as a PDF. I typically will print it out, and so I don't have it. So there's a few horses, and my days, I was never very good with the visual of picking off the names off the saddle cloth, off the embroidery. I was always marginal when my sight was good. So it's even harder now. And nobody's worse with the binoculars than I am. I can't deal with them. So it's not as easy for me as it used to be to just glance over and at least pick off a number and tell you who's going by. So I have jotted some down, some numbers with some notes, and then we'll look them up when we get a chance. I can tell you actually just there, just coming by, was Raging Bull. That wasn't hard to see. Saw the mile cloth. So, there's still plenty of horses, obviously, that have yet to arrive, and it was a huge weekend of works. In fact, it was kind of dizzying, to be honest. The amount of action between here and Churchill, also across the country, Santa Anita, the final works for the Baffert horses and for the others that the Sadler and more, Michael McCarthy's horses. It was just a frenetic weekend, and even out. Beyond, you have the horses, the Maker horses at over at the Spectrum, over at the training center, and Miller at San Luis Rey. I mean, there was a lot to keep track of, and you know, the nice thing is that you do have, if you want to go to Breeders' Cup's website, they've got links to, you know, the sources for the, you know, the various workout video that, you know, that's available at most of the, at least of the racetracks, not, you know, a little tougher, obviously, when it comes to the training facilities like San Luis and so forth, and even... in fact, we might talk to Tom Drury. He's over at Skylight. So we'll work in some of the, you know, some of the workout information. I saw Mike Welch this morning when I came in, and Mike been on hand, and so we'll talk to him when we get a chance. Mike, I know there's some turf. There 10:30. There's turf galloping, and or works actually. As opposed to. I don't know if they're letting, I suppose they'll let the Euros, they always seem to let the Euros at least come out and, you know, the quarantine horses get their own, you know, their own little window, and they might stretch their legs. And they've got the dogs up out in the outer paths, obviously. So things are shaping up, and this incredibly cold weather will be dissipating as the week goes on. It's going to get nicer and nicer and nicer. If you haven't checked, and it's going to be, by the time we get to Friday and Saturday, it's going to be absolutely glorious from every indication. Marty McGee promised that, so it better come through. Yeah, it's going to climb into the 30s the next couple of days, then in the mornings, and then into the 40s, and in the afternoons we're going to get up into the 60s, and a high of 68 and sunny on Friday, and a high of 73 and sunny on Saturday. So this is going to, it's a little bit of a bitter, little bit of a bitter pill, obviously, to swallow. I mean, given, you know, given the fact that you know, other than some owners and breeders, it's going to be this is going to be an event unavailable, and everybody, you know, everybody just dealing with that reality and looking forward, hopefully, to a better year ahead on that front. There was very little on a good news front in terms of participants in the event. No problems per se. There was, you know, there are some decisions, and there may be some decisions that haven't been reported that'll turn up you know, later as the morning turns into the afternoon. Maybe from Dora Delgado's office, we might hear some specifics. But for the most part, the only, you know, the only decision yesterday, the word coming that Bo Recall was going to bypass the mile. And, you know, that was actually a significant defection because our friend Lee Einsothner was looking forward to Casa Creed getting in the race, and now he will. And coming off the grade one, the four-star Dave third at Saratoga, Casa, who was working with... was working with Harvey. He's a little Goyle. And speaking of Bill Mott, we saw Tacitus earlier this morning as well. Anyway, there's all kinds of other news and tidbits that will slip in. I've got here over the next little bit before we take a bottom of the hour break. There is plenty to slip in from the weekend in terms of actual racing, and we'll get to that. One thing that was really notable, I thought, from the weekend, did you pick up on how many stake winners had Breeders' Cup tie-ins and you know, Breeders' Cup starters? For instance, Majestic Dunhill, George Weaver, and of course George Georgia's got point of honor in the distaff, and he's got Vekoma. Might still be at Saratoga, actually, as opposed, I was going to say, Belmont, but I think still at Saratoga. So, but George with Majestic Dunhill won the Bold Ruler on Saturday, and that was just one of a hatful of Breeders' Cup connected trainers, and in a lot of cases ownership as well. Here's a just the ones that I noticed, that, and there may be more that I didn't pick up on, but Barkley Tag. Barkley and Step Dancer won the Awad on Saturday as well. Dylan Davis aboard. And, of course, Barkley, you know, with, as mentioned earlier, Tis the Law. Up in Woodbine, Cassie, Not So Quiet, won the Overskate. And Cassie, you know, obviously well-represented. And I'm sure we'll talk about any number of his runners. And then yesterday in the coronation, that coronation futurity, congratulations to the Ulwellings, who we talked about last week. And they win the coronation with the Constitution. Stephen, spelled the way I spell my name, with Justin Stein and Kevin Attard. So, and of course, later we'll see where Starship Jubilee lines up in the Philly and Mare Turf. Everywhere you looked, at Ohio, I mentioned Tom Drury. Drury won one of the Best of Ohio races. He won with Buckeye Magic in the Juvenile with John McKee. And Tim Hamm, his filly, by the way, his filly is a picture, boy. She, the day out at the office, she made a nice impression today. But that nice Alexandria of his won the Galbraith for the two-year-old fillies in the Best of Ohio. Doug O'Neill won a race. He won the Let It Ride yesterday at Del Mar. Del Mar getting underway this weekend. And so, I mean, everywhere you look, Brett Calhoun won the Clever Trevor on Friday night. Maker, earlier in the week, won the Breeders' Futurity up at Finger Lakes, we mentioned, as their meet came to an end with Ray Lou Gutierrez. Pretty crazy. And then yesterday in that Chelsea Flower in New York, and I got to talk about the, I'm sure we'll talk about it tomorrow with Andy, but the yesterday, the force out, the last day of Belmont. And Ingracia, and I singled Ingracia, and I thought, you know, I thought I liked what I the way I was positioned yesterday in that force out at Belmont to end the Empire sixth season, and ended up, what, third leg, I think. Barley won. And Barley won absolutely. The two horses that were, that I didn't have, the two horses that were tricky, Barley won. And then in the nightcap, you know, that Miss Jimmy took money, was 5-1. And she, you know, she absolutely, if she had repeated that race, was it last time or two back maybe, she made plenty of sense. And, you know, the turn back from 7/8, yeah. Yep. And I was happy that Mike Luzzi, who had been blanked on the meet. It was Luzzi that wins the last race of the meet, which was cool, with Miss Jimmy. So anyway, the people that, if you navigated that pick six yesterday, you did okay. $3,750 basically came back. And it was substantial. It got up to $3 million. So, but it was a fun exercise. But Ingracia and Fluffy Socks, the winner at Pimlico for Chad and Sal Cumin, the head of Plains Group, followed up the Salima with a good effort and kind of got out mid stretch. But at the same time, that Ingracia. It was bottled up. Jose Ortiz had to wait and wait and wait and wait. So I'm sure there's plenty of people who you know, keyed on Fluffy Sox. It's funny, they were the second and third choices. That Call D took the money and went off at 3-2. And seemed to me that, you know, that Call D, you know, was going to have pace company. One horse that, there's actually two horses that ended up coming out of this race, out of the Chelsea Flower, both Oyster Box, who scratched early, and of course the weather a factor, and then later in the afternoon, Christophe Clement extracted Love Struck from the race as well. So the complexion changed a little bit, but the, you know, the top pair of Jads, luckily, the Greg Sacco Brunetti filly, Psychic Ability, attended the pace and you know, kept it honest. I mean, the splits obviously don't mean anything on that turf that they actually called soft. I mean, it was the rain came early, then the rain paused, and then it came again. But it was, I thought it was a sequence worth playing. And we should mention that third race. Pull that chart and put it off to the side, because that looks like a very good group. How about getting Suge at 33-1 with Island Treasure? Unbelievable. Island Treasure. You recall the wonderful filly, Hit It Rich. This is Stu Janney Homebred by Spitestown, and a second career start. And Island Treasure was terrific. 33-1. Unbelievable. I want to say Mark Hennig. Wow. Not War of Will, but wow. Was second in here and ran well. And Technical Analysis, the debuter for Chad, went off as second choice. And that looks like a very nice filly going forward. That's a Kingman filly out of the See the Stars mare. Technical Analysis. So I would watch that race. I think that was a important group, the way they looked. So that was just yesterday. And anyway, I was struck by how interesting it was that there were so many Breeders' Cup connections that had good weekends, and of course, quite a few I haven't even thought much about the jock situation. We'll get those assignments later today. And there was, of course, over the weekend, the news that Mike Smith is not going to participate. He will stay at Del Mar. And that raised some eyebrows. From the emerging assignments. While I've got those Ohios in, let me slip the other couple of winners in. I told you about Buckeye Magic. That was for Maccabee Farm. Trap Shot, homebred colt of theirs. For Drury, Alexandria, we mentioned, won well for Windstar and partners, Tim Hamm and others. This is the homebred Constitution filly. In the sprint, Chief Randall, 20-1. Jose Romero for owner Harry Waite, who bred this Fibersond colt. Not a West Virginia bred. Drill it for Dr. Gorham. Mass Thoroughbreds, bred by Eric Heyman. And this filly wins the Distaff. Nice price, too. Almost 9-1. And Uriah St. Louis showed up with Forewarned, the flat-out 5-year-old. Trinbrook stable and originally Preston stable bred, and Forewarned wins the Endurance. So that was the Ohio action that we mentioned. I gave you George Weaver and George's win in the bold ruler. We got some Churchill stuff that we'll have to fit in. Got some hard news, including one thing that I will slip in here. And I didn't know if last week, at the end of the week, if I was going to get a chance to talk to Ron Gierkenk. But there was the really sad news. I mean, I don't know how else you term it. The word came that Samsung Farm is going to disperse the operation. And one of the great names in racing, not just in North America and obviously Canada, but if you had not seen this, their broodmare band particularly is going to be, I would imagine, be very well received. And they're gonna disperse over the next year and a half or so, and Keeneland and Fasig will handle the stock. From Mr. Samuel and of course the really tragic passing of his daughter, Tammy, that would have, could have, don't know if this would be happening if Tammy had not gone. So, I had that in my stack of news, so I wanted to be sure to mention. A couple of other things. We had the visit with Gabe Prewitt. That was a lot of fun, and people love whenever there's a big harness day. Everybody seems to love it, and then if you watch, I was having trouble, to be honest, staying up to watch the late action, but watched some of the early races Friday and Saturday. The amazing result. I mean, you had quite a few upsets, obviously, if you have not seen the. If you did not follow, but there was a $400 horse, Sand Between My Toes, upset Tall Dark Stranger, and 409.80. I know that there's been a few, but 203-1, amazing. Amazing. A lot of the big names that that we had anticipated, didn't necessarily struggle, but just got beat. And that one certainly. I haven't seen any tales of conquest here. Pretty wild. Sand Between My Toes. Obviously, some beach somewhere. It was fun. I'm glad we did it, and I told Gabe we'll definitely have him reach out to him. Well, that's with Dave Brower, and who else did we? You know, we got a roster of harness. The international scene obviously is a big part of today too. First of all, Almond Eyes win over the weekend in Japan. She's spectacular, and the Melbourne Cup. Later today in Australia, or tonight, however you merchandise the late night. We're going to talk to Andrew Hawkins. And in fact, Case, let's head to the break, and we'll come back, and Andrew's going to join us. Rich Migliori later, and we're going to talk to a number of the trainers that have their first Breeders' Cup starter. Including Michelle Lovell and Terry Off and Tom Drury. Kind of fun. Nice stories. And we'll see. Maybe we'll get Mike after the Turfworks. We'll get Mike Welch to visit and more. Now the sun is finally across the entire racetrack. This is pretty crazy. But Andrew Hawkins will kick us off with Melbourne Cup. And I've also got Dick. Dick Powell sent me, as he promised. His analysis, or at least his plays, and I don't know if you noticed, but Dick had that $20 winner in the first that shot 10. So nice job by Dick. I'll save Dick's Melbourne Cup pushes for when Andrew joins us. There was some exciting news also, speaking of Australia, that story that we've been sort of tracking and been waiting and waiting from New Jersey and by way of Australia, the BetMakers team, the legislation to lock in fixed odds wagering has finally been introduced. Pretty much had to wait all through the summer. They were hoping that it would be introduced at Monmouth, during the meet. But, it's hard putting all those things. So, the good news is it's happening, and it's gonna happen. And it Jersey would be the toehold, and from there we'll hope that it expands, because it would be such a valuable innovation and an improvement. The frustration, the people that are just that, even if you understand why there's these late odds changes, it doesn't assuage the frustrations. So, fixed odds wagering would go a long way. And it also, and we've said this before too, it would also be a benefit that for new players who don't we've said this a million times, they go to make a bet, it says 5-1 on the odds board. By the time their horse wins, it's half that, and they don't understand. So it would be a benefit for neophyte, prospective horse players. There's so many positives to the fixed odds. So we're excited about it. And I'm sure we'll talk to Dallas Baker, who is the front man for the system that will be introduced. And they've got, I don't know if you realize this, do you remember back to Haskell? Monmouth offered a $1 million bonus for Haskell Derby Breeders' Cup Classic win, so Authentic's eligible for a bonus. Let's take a break. Melbourne Cup, Andrew Hawkins will get his ideas after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA-sired PA breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced, scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. And looking forward to, I promised that we were going to get Andrew Hawkins back ahead of the Melbourne Cup. And one of the really great race days anywhere in the world. And Andrew joins us here. We're not that far. What is it? It's 9 o'clock here, so it's early morning hours in Melbourne. And what are we looking at, Andrew? Good morning, or good evening there. I guess I can say good morning to you.
You can say good morning. It has ticked over to the first Tuesday in November here, so. I guess if you're getting out and voting, it's already election day here in Australia.
Well, this is Tuesday here is certainly going to stop the nation. Different story there, where the race that stops the nation, and we built up to it a little bit a couple of weeks ago, and between the Caulfield Cup and the Cox Plate, we've got a terrific cast. We've got Aidan O'Brien, who's going to bring, a phalanx of horses here to Keeneland, and we're going to see some of them in about an hour. But he's looking for his first Melbourne Cup, and he's got a pair of, very eligible horses. Set the tone for us, first of all, Andrew, coming into later today at Flemington.
Look, it's one of the best fields they've assembled for a Melbourne Cup. It really is a deep, deep race from top to bottom. And it's actually quite extraordinary because earlier this year it was looking like it was going to be one of the weaker Melbourne Cups because it didn't look like any visitors would be able to make the trip. And Australian and New Zealand stayers, there's very little depth among horses that get out over a route. So it was thought that it was going to be quite a weak Melbourne Cup, but you look at it now and it's quality from top to bottom. There is really not one horse there that doesn't deserve to be there, and there's not one horse there that you can really say isn't a chance. As you say, Aidan O'Brien takes a couple of horses down, Anthony Van Dyke, who I know obviously ran in the Breeders' Cup Turf last year and has been very good this year. He's got to carry plenty of weight. And then you've got Tiger Moth, who finished second in the Irish Derby, won a Group 3 at Leopardstown last time out, lightly weighted three-year-old. Again, it's a really fascinating race. Joseph O'Brien as well, with a pair of starters. It's a really, really interesting race, and there's just so many ways you could go. And I think whatever you have some money on, you're going to be getting a sight for your money. Let's put it that way.
And you mentioned the O'Briens, and well represented. And I'm glad you brought. I'm glad you brought Joseph into it. Master of Reality, which I know is Dick Powell. Dick is going to key off of Master of Reality with another three horses. And let's kind of survey the obvious players first, Andrew. And Then we'll maybe get into some of the exotic possibilities and some of the, you know, some of the interesting stories. But we certainly, between Anthony Van Dyke and Tiger Moth, as you mentioned, Sir Dragonette and Very Elegant as well for Chris Waller. You know, talk about the obvious players to start.
Yeah, so look, it is one of the more open cups, and as I say, betting on the Melbourne Cup, where obviously fixed odds play a role down here in Australia. It's not just totalizator betting, so it means that we have an idea where the market's going to be at, but at the moment it's 7-1 the field, so it's a very, very wide open race. Tiger Moth currently the favourite coming off that Irish Derby second, and again down in the weights, the Melbourne Cup being a handicap, it's all about where horses are in the weights, and Tiger Moth is seen to be the one who's got the most upside to him with only 52.5 kilos to carry, which is a lightweight compared to Anthony Van Dyke. He's carrying what, 14 pounds or so less than him, so that's why he's the favourite. But Anthony Van Dyke also very much considered a player off that second in the Caulfield Cup behind Very Elegant. Very Elegant also got her admirers. The query with her is she's going beyond a mile and a half for the first time, and she's not the most straightforward mare. She does over race, and she has a really high head carriage, which always looks awkward for a horse being over ground. So that's a concern. Other chances high up in the market. You mentioned Master of Reality. Master of Reality, second last year, second across the line, was relegated back to fourth due to interference. But it was a great ride by Frankie Dettori last year to just go down. And I'm sure Frankie Dettori will be watching, hoping that he was back at Flemington. But obviously, due to COVID, he won't be there. Prince of Arran, who's run in the placings the last 2 years, he returns for a third crack, and his form in Australia is simply top-notch. He never runs a bad race down in Australia. I think the thing with him, he just loves to travel. He's a horse that he's actually still a maiden on grass in the UK, and yet he just seems to find another leg in Australia. It's really quite an extraordinary story. For Charlie Fellows there, Prince of Arran. And then there's another local surprise baby who's only had the two runs since last year, but a lot of people think he should have won last year. He, as I say, only the two starts since. It's going to be interesting to see how he performs. So, as you say, Steve, there are plenty of ways and angles you can look at it, and there are only just a few in the market. There are plenty of others just below them in the market who have a chance as well.
And I'm glad you brought Prince of Arran in, because it's a nice storyline. I saw kind of early this morning, I was, you know, the timeline was peppered with with lots of Australia news and that part of it. Give everybody a barrier appreciation, and I know you touched on this when we talked last, but how did the barrier draw affect everybody?
Yeah, so look, the barrier draw for a Melbourne Cup is never too crucial, because you do have a very, very long run, about 800 metres or 4 furlongs. Even it's actually even longer than that. It's probably closer to the 5 furlong point that horses actually have to run before they go to the first bend. So it's a long run down that Flemington straight. But what's really interesting with Prince of Arran is that he's drawn the inside. Again, he's the horse that has drawn out his first couple of starts. But he draws inside here, which is interesting, because he'll be ridden by Jamie Carr, who's a female jockey in Melbourne, who's been riding lights out recently on the Crossway card. She rode 4 winners, and she she gets barrier one, which was also the barrier that Prince of Penzance with Michelle Payne, the only female jockey to win the race so far, came out of. So there's similarities there between Prince of Arran, Jamie Carr, and Prince of Penzance and Michelle Payne. So that's been the parallel that's been drawn from the barrier draw. In terms of the barrier draw for other horses, Tiger Moss through wide. He's coming out of barrier 23, which is obviously second from the outside. Only outside of him is a horse called Ashrun, who actually won on Saturday and is now backing up on the Tuesday, which has been done quite a few times before, but it's something that isn't seen in many parts of the world. And for a European horse, it's always proven quite difficult. So that's going to be tough for Ashrun from out there. Otherwise, horses that have drawn well, Anthony Van Dyke has gone to get the absolutely perfect run. He's near the inside, and he'll just get an absolutely perfect run into speed. And I know that's why a lot of people are now starting to favour him. But again, it really is a case of not having that much of an impact on the race. It probably just it tells you who's going to be able to position into a spot where they want, or who's going to have to be dictated to. A horse like Tiger Moth, probably dictated to by what happens in the early stages.
Well, some final thoughts from you. How are you going to approach this from a wagering standpoint?
Well, look, I've been very lucky that, again, in Australia we have anti-post to pre-post wagering. So I've actually got two tickets that are live on horses that are at shorter prices than what I backed them at. So Tiger Moth, I was very, very lucky to be able to get 100-1 about him. So I'm very, very happy there. About a 6-1 horse, Ashrun, the other one I mentioned, the winner on Saturday, I've got 66-1 about him, and he's currently about 20-1. So lucky there in that sense. But there is one horse that I've warmed to since then, which will probably be the main horse I'll be trying to construct exotics around. He's a horse called the Chosen One. Ran third to Anthony Van Dyke, behind Anthony Van Dyke, very elegant in the Caulfield Cup. Was a big odds that day because he was coming off two pretty plain runs in the Underwood Stakes, which is 9 furlongs, and the Herbert Power, which he'd actually won last year. But he's a horse who just has improved preparation on preparation. He ran in the race last year and ran 17th, but the thing was he was coming off a quick backup. He was one of those horses that had run on the Saturday and then ran again on the Tuesday. I don't think that suited him. Also, last year was a really weirdly run race, and he ended up in the worst position possible. I just think, having seen him over 2 miles in the autumn earlier this year, he ran second in the Sydney Cup, which is at that same trip, and I think he's a really interesting horse here. Currently about 30-1. I think he'll probably be a bigger price than that. But for me, I'm constructing everything around him. So I'll be trying to get him somewhere in the finish. But again, around some of the market fancies, like Prince of Arran, like Tiger Moth, like Surprise Baby, very elegant, Anthony Van Dyke as well. And another horse who I've mentioned, Finch, who's run in the race the last 2 years and is around 4th and 7th. A horse that probably won't win, but is a horse that just is always around the mark, super consistent, and one for exotics. So that's the way I'll be playing the race, is trying to find a way to get the Chosen One in there in a variety of sequences.
All right, let's give everybody, and you mentioned Finch. That also is a horse that that Dick is using. In fact, let me give everybody Dick's play first. Dick is keying off of Master of Reality, who's the 4, and then Sir Dragonette, Finch, and Tiger Moth. So 4, 5, 11, 12 is Dick's sort of key box, and each way you know, sort of an agglomeration, but he is going to bet Master of Reality to win. Give everybody your numbers too, Andrew.
Yeah, so for me, it'll be 17, 21, 12, and 13. So 17 is the chosen one, 21 Tiger Moth, and then you get down to 12 Prince of Arran, 13 Surprise Baby. But it's one of these races where, again, you could make a case for at least half the field, and you could probably still miss the winner. It's an incredibly deep, an incredibly fascinating Melbourne Cup. For those who will be staying up, I think it's about 11 p.m. Eastern time, but it is really, truly going to be worth it. It is just a shame that no crowds will be trackside at Flemington. It'll be really quite eerie having a Melbourne Cup run in front of an empty grandstand, given there are normally in excess of 100,000 people there. It's obviously the way of the world at the moment, and we've just got to be glad that the race is being run and to such a quality. But yes, it's definitely a very strange year, isn't it, Steve?
It's been the case everywhere. It'll be the same thing here on Friday and Saturday. There'll be a smattering, you know, they're estimating, you know, a couple thousand, maybe 1,500 perhaps, depending on how many, you know, connection tickets are utilized, plus you know, plus staff and whatever else, horsemen and their teams, and you know, it's going to be it's going to be the same as what we've seen all summer. I mean, what can we say? The Triple Crown season and Saratoga and you name it. I mean, everywhere is dealing with this. But, you know, the beauty of the ADW systems, you know, it's not a perfect scenario, but it obviously it's taken care of business you know, pretty well for everybody. And of course, in Australia, I mentioned earlier the TAB system as part of, you know, what's going to be the fixed odds wagering scenario getting established here. And actually, you know, Andrew, you can address that, because the fixed odds, you know, has become a mammoth success in Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, it has. It's been something that has come along slowly. Again, Australia and New Zealand, until about 15 years ago, very much a tote and a parimutuel only product. But slowly you've seen bookmakers and fixed odds operators enter the sphere. But where it's been really successful is that the TAB itself, which is our one tote operator, they've been able to have fixed odds now for about a decade, and it's really proven to be a popular option. The fact that you can either bet into the tote pools, which still have quite a bit of liquidity in them, you'd be surprised by how much liquidity remains in those tote pools. But you've also got that fixed odds option as well, so. It does provide the best of both worlds, and Australian governance as well is strong in that a lot of that money does have to flow back into the sport through taxes and through
sure.
Percentage pay. You know, it's not like in the UK where there's issues with levies that are paid by bookmakers. It's very strictly governed down here, which means that a lot of money is still flowing back in to the sport, which has always been one of the real assets and the real positives of a paramutual system. So, no, for sure, it's proven very successful, and I think in terms of the appetite for horse players, it really does just open up that suite of possibilities, and really gives them. Give them a shop front that they can select from, you know.
Well, it'll be, I believe, I mean, well received. We've talked about it for, you know, for years and years, and there's been a lot of work that's gone into it. Dennis Drazen and the team at Monmouth, you know, the situation in New Jersey is kind of unique, and it gives them the opportunity to try things. I mean, they didn't, to be honest, they've kind of, the exchange, the betting exchange, never really took root the way it was hoped. This is different, though. There's a real benefit to the concept of the fixed odds wagering, and it could solve a myriad of issues that are kind of vexing our tote system right now from the paramutual side. So looking forward to it, but in the meantime, I tweeted out the Racing Post's unbelievable product that Andrew put together, which basically gives you a rundown on all 24 participants in the Melbourne Cup. And Andrew, before we go to, you got a Breeders' Cup? Anything you're following in particular for us for Breeders' Cup?
Oh, look, I've been having a look at the races. Just trying to figure out, for a few weeks now, which European's going to head across, and you just never know who's actually going to make the trip across. And it's been interesting because, again, being abroad, you're able to access markets and have those fixed odds wagers. And unfortunately, I actually had a wager on Japan in the Breeders' Cup Turf, and obviously not heading there now. Aidan O'Brien with a very strong hand in that Breeders' Cup Turf. I'm actually interested though to see what Dermot Wells does with Tanawa in that in the turf, just because again, speaking Melbourne Cup, Dermot Wells, the first international trainer to be able to win the Melbourne Cup at the first attempt as well with Vintage Crop in 93, and we obviously saw him go to Belmont, win the Belmont Stakes with Go and Go, and just a really shrewd trainer, and the fact that he's intending to send her against the boys rather than going to the billion mare turf is a really interesting move for mine. So Tanawa coming off that win at Longchamp, I think, is going to be really interesting. But it's amazing, again, talking about what 2020's thrown up, that the Breeders' Cup has been able to get these terrific fields once again, and a terrific group of Europeans coming across. Again, the other thing I should mention as well is I'm hoping to see an Australian breadwinner in the turf sprint with Alexandra. It would be quite the story if Australia, obviously not being able to have an Australian trained runner this year. Conte Partiro was meant to go across for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott to race, but instead going through the sales ring there at Keeneland next week. But it'd be still a great story if Alexandra could win as an Australian bred at Breeders' Cup 2020.
She's got a real shot, and Neil Drysdale seems very pleased and excited about her prospect, and it's nice because there were some issues, there's some physical, she got banged around, and there was some concern she did miss some time, but it feels like she's coming up to this well, and the turf sprint always it's always interesting, and We had international, last time we were here, we certainly had international flavor to the turf sprint with Mongolian Saturday's win. That had a very international flavor. So, Andrew.
Didn't it? I just remember those guys dressed up again. Yeah. They came to Hong Kong afterwards, and I was based in Hong Kong at the time, and I just remember seeing the photos of them in the winner's circle, and then actually seeing it at Sha Tin. It was as you say, a complete international flavour, and but that's what the Breeders' Cup's fantastic about, bringing that international flavour to world racing.
Well, and an international flavor today. We did not want to miss an opportunity to look forward about 13 hours from now tonight. And everybody, if you've never seen it, it's not a Melbourne Cup like it it normally is, obviously, but it's still one of the great spectacles anywhere in the world, and something that that so many people would like to experience in their lifetime, me included. Andrew, thanks so much, as always. Best of luck today.
Thanks, Dave. Chat soon.
Andrew N.J. Hawkins on Twitter, and one of the, you know, really bright young pundit minds out there internationally. And, you know, he mentioned, you know, his time in Hong Kong. We used to talk to him when he was doing work for HKJC, and he's got a real, a real passion. And you could tell last week for his big birthday, there was an international outpouring for Andrew's birthday. It's the top of the hour. We're an hour in already, and we're going to talk to Rich Migliori. I'm hoping we can get Scott Hazelton, his longtime broadcast partner, and when they're together, they're so good. And hoping that now that the TBG morning show is wrapped up, maybe we can get Scott on here with Mig. Let's take a timeout, and we'll come back. Hour two, we're going to talk also Terry Off about Empire of Gold, his first Breeders' Cup starter, as well as Michelle Lovell. Too nice of a story not to, you know, talk to first-time Cup starters. And you know, Tom Drury obviously has had an amazing year with the situation involving Art Collector. And now he's going to get his first Breeders' Cup starter as well. So, lots to do. Take a break. Back after this, Rich Migliori.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Our Pennsylvania breeding program was, of course, impacted by the pandemic. Now, with our country getting back to work, we'd like to again talk about our program, the best in North America. Our breeder awards will remain up to 50% for PA-sired PA breds. Owner bonuses will also stay at up to 40%. Restricted races will again be run at all three PA tracks, and PA Day at the races will return. I'm Brian Sanfratello. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races.